We're up to the Mishnah Yud Tesamid Beis on the bottom. In the previous Mishnah, we had learned about a machlokus between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Are you allowed to start a Moloch on Erev Shabbos that will complete itself on Shabbos? And there were situations in which Beit Shammai were moded to Beit Hillel that you're allowed to start a Moloch on Erev Shabbos. And now the Mishnah is going to say just the opposite. That there are scenarios, there are situations in which Beis Hillel are moded to Beis Shammai that you're not allowed to begin a melacha on Erev Shabbos that will complete itself on Shabbos. And the underlying principle here in our mission is what's called Shema Shema Yechata B'Gecholim. Ein Solin Basar Batzel U'Beitza. We're not allowed to roast. Talking about like an open fire here. Any of the above. Meat, onions, eggs. And we know that the complete roasting of these will take place on Shabbos. Ella, unless... Kideshi Itzolu Mibod Yom. Unless the roasting process, such that now it's edible, will complete itself before Shabbos. Ain't no sin possible tanur im chashecha. We don't put a dough into the oven erev Shabbos before nightfall. Velo charora, charora is a kind of a cookie that they used to roast or sometimes bake. Al gabi gecholim on top of coals. Ela kadesha yikrimu paneha mibodyom. That the pas should already have some sort of a crust before nightfall. And we'll have to figure out exactly what this crust is all about, because Rabbi Eliezer Omer Kadesh Yikro Matachton Shalah, which might mean that either it's not enough that you have krimas pas on the outside, on the top side of the dough, you need a krimas pas on the bottom. And Rabbi Eliezer is coming to be machmir, or just the contrary. On the contrary, Rabbi Eliezer is maybe being mekil, and he's saying that the tzara tachton gets baked even earlier, even faster than the tzara elyon. And at an earlier stage, Rabbi Eliezer would be matir. And all the dinim that we just learned in the chumras are even according to Beis Hillel, who are matir back on Daf Yud Zayin, to begin a melacha before nightfall, even though it'll complete itself on Shabbos. And the reason why in all these cases that we learned about Botzo, about Sliya, and about Afia, Beis Hillel with Aser, is because of the Chashash Hashem Yechata. A person is very eager to see that very quickly the roasting of his meat or the dough would be baked very quickly, so he might come to poke and stoke the flames, stoke the coals, which would be a Melech HaSavara. Now the Mishnah is going to bring other cases in which you're allowed to begin a very unusual cases where we're going to allow you to begin the Tzliya process of meat right before Shabbos because of what's called Zrizus, that we're not going to have a Chashash of Shemi Echata. For example, when they roasted the Korban Pesach, is Mishalshalim es Korban HaPesach B'Tanur B'Erev Shabbos M'Chashecha Somach L'Chashecha. So we're talking about Shabbos is the first day of Pesach. Erev Shabbos is Erev Pesach, and that's the time for the roasting of the Korban Pesach. And we're allowed to begin that process of roasting the Korban Pesach in the oven even as night, just right before nightfall. We're not afraid of Shemi Yechatek B'Gecholim because the Pesach is made B'Chabura, and the Bnei HaChabura considered Zrizim. They're very careful. If anyone would come, B'Chashom, think of Chitui, the other members of the Chabura would immediately remind him that he's not allowed to do this. And another case which the Mishnah's matir is ma'achazinen es ha'ur b'meduras beis ha'moked. And the Beis HaMoked was a place in the Migdash where they kept the fire going, and the Kohanim would light this fire sometimes even on Erev Shabbos before nightfall, and it would be a low flame with a kind of like a bonfire. And this was located in the Azara, in the Beis HaMoked, as we said. And this Madora was for the purpose of the Kohanim, that they should be able to warm themselves up from the cold, because keep in mind they would walk barefoot on the Rizpas HaZara, as the Pasuk says in Malachim, B'yom ha'hu kidesh ha'melech es toch ha'chatzer shal lifnei Beis Hashem. And the Gemara in Zvach Madav Chav Dalid says that since the Rizpah is mekudeshesi, it's a klishores, and therefore also shetia chatzitza ben hakohen leklishores. So the Kohanim had to walk barefoot, and they needed this Beis HaMoked Eish, this Mandura, in order to warm themselves up. And the principle here is that although normally we don't light this kind of a bonfire before Shabbos, we're always afraid of chitu, but nevertheless, in the case of Kohanim, we have a principle called Kohanim's Rizimheim, and they would remind one another, and they'll never come to violate the Isur of chitu. And now we turn to Daf Chaf Omed Aleph. Ubegvulim, in other places outside the borders of the Beis HaMikdash, we're not going to allow you to light a bonfire, a campfire, very close to Knisat HaShabbat, unless there's enough time, Kedei Shetechos Ha'ur Berubo. Unless the fire will catch on most of the wood, the logs of wood that he's putting into this fire, because otherwise, again, we're afraid of Shem Yechata. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer B'pchamim Kolshehu, B'kolshehu. In other words, if we're dealing with coals, not with logs of wood, and those coals light almost by themselves, they maintain their heat, they don't start going down or getting extinguished, and therefore we're not choshesh that he would come to Chitu in order to get the fire going. The Gemara immediately asks, when it says in the Mishnah, Kadesh Yatsu Mibodyom Vekama, what's the shear of the meat or the egg or the onion that it has to be tsolu, it has to be roasted before nightfall, such that he won't be choshesh, we won't be choshesh for chitu gecholim? What's the shear? When is it considered already roasted or edible? This is the famous shear of Bishul, which is called Kemaychel Ben Josoi, the food for a person called Ben Josoi. He's one of those robbers, those thieves. You know, they're always eating on the run. And the Bishul of Kemaychel Ben Josoi, according to Rashi, is Shlish Bishula, one third of what would normally be called tzarka, full-fledged cooking. And it's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch accepts the sheet of Rashi in our Chayim Siman Reish Nun Dalid, that Bishul means Kedeshir. No, I'm sorry, just one second. Rashi says Shlish, but the Shulchan Aruch accepts the other sheet of the Rishonim, and that's Chatzi Bishulo, that it's half cooked. And the Magen Avraham points out that even though, with regard to Bishul Yaakov, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that Kemaych Ben Josoi is Shlish, that's because of the Kula of Bishul Akum, but in the Easter Shabbos, which is Chumrah, the Shulchan Aruch is going to Paskin that it's not considered cooked until it's Chatzi Bishul, which is the base for that sheet, is the Rambam in Perek Tes Mihilcha Shabbos. Now, from this we learn that once food reaches the stage of Kemaych Ben Josoi, it's considered edible. It's Roi Lachila, Al Yidei Adchak. Admittedly, that wouldn't be your you know, it's very red meat and so forth, very early in the cooking, but it's edible. And b'shas hadchak, you would eat it. And that's how the ben josoi type of guys would eat it. And once it reaches that stage, we're not afraid of chitui b'cholot. Now, what is the heter of kemeichel ben josoi? One way of learning it is because it's kimavushal already. And even if he'd be tempted, in the worst case scenario, if he does chitui and he speeds up the process, we have a principle called ein bishol achar bishol. However, in the Rambam Shita, that's very difficult to assume. The Rambam seems to assume that if you take something from kemeichel ben josoi and you complete its cooking, as long as the cooking process is beneficial, that itself is bishol, and we don't say ein bishol achar bishol. So maybe perhaps what we're saying here is that we're not afraid of chitui because he's already gotten to that stage in the bishul or in the tzliya, the afia, that he would let it go on its own. You know, the process will complete itself naturally. He doesn't have to interfere and get actively involved with the chitui. Itmar Nami, we have an additional halacha that was formulated in the Beis Medrash with regard to Michael Ben Josoi. Om Rav Asi, Om Rav Yochanan, Kol Shu Keshir Michael Ben Josoi, the Bishul reached that stage, and the Jew turned on the fire, and he brought the food to that stage of Kemeichel Ben Josoi, Bo Mishu Bishul Yaakov, the Goy completes the Bishul. So let's say, for example, it reached Shlish Bishulo, it was taken off the fire, and now the Goy puts it back on the fire, and he brings it from the state of Kemeichel Ben Josoi till the state of, let's say, Mevushal Kol Tzarko. There's no Iser Bishul Akum. And even though, again, as we said before, in Hilchus Meleches Bishul on Shabbos, it could be the Rambam Shita. For one, is that if you take it from Shlish Bishulo to full Bishul, that is a Meleches Bishul, and therefore you would say the guy did the Bishul, but the answer is the Jew also did the Bishul. And when the Jew put it on the fire and the food came to reach that stage of Kemeichel Ben Josoi, this Chefta is already Mevushal Al Pidin and through the Israel. That already removes the Iser Bishul Akum on this piece of meat. Tanya, we have a Braisa, Hananya Omer, and we'll talk about this more in Perkira. Kol Shuhu Kemeichel Ben Josoi Mutal Ashosal Gabi Kira Afal Pishena Grufa Vena Ketuma. Normally, we're afraid to leave food on an open fire unless we start placing, let's say, ketuma means to take afer ashes and spread them on top of the gecholim. Or, for example, grufo, which means we start moving the gecholim inside the oven, in the bottom of the oven, to one side, like raking. But in the case of food that already reached Kemeichel Ben Josoi, before Shabbos, you're allowed to leave it inside the oven or on top of the oven, and then we're not afraid of chitui because it's already mevushal to the shir that's roi lachila, and that's enough to remove the chashash. But normally, if it hadn't reached Kemeichel Ben Josoi, let's say the bishul process started, but it didn't even reach one third, then we would require a gruf and a ketuma, which is similar to our blech. And Mr. Shem will have a lot to talk about that when we get to it. Now, there is a machlokas between Hananya and Chachamim in Perikira. Just to mention, the Chachamim of the opinion that you're not allowed to do shahia, you can't leave a pot that's cooking on Erev Shabbos on an Eina Grufa Veina Ketuma unless the Tavshil is Mevushal called Sarko. Whereas Hananya says it's enough that it reached Kemeichel Ben Josoi. And here the Gemara is quoting a Braisa that's authored by Hananya. And therefore the key of keys and the shear here is going to be Kemeichel Ben Josoi. So when our Mishnah here says Ela Kedeshi Yitzolu Mibod Yom, it means Sheitzolu Kemeichel Ben Josoi, which means that our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Hananya. And the Gemara, therefore, in this quotes this Bais of Hananya to, in a sense, embellish, to shed light on our Mishnah. And the Balamar asks a stira in the Rif, because on the one hand, the Rif quotes Rav, and the Rif quotes the sheet of Rav, that the shear of Kedeshi Yitzolus Kemaychel Ben Josoi. On the other hand, he passes like the sheet of Chachamim that you require called Mavusha called Tzarko in order to allow Shehi on an open fire because of the Kshash of Shema Yechata. And if you're bringing our Mishnah of the Shir of Kedei Yitzolu Kemaychel Ben Josoi, it means that there's no Kshash Chitui once it reaches Kemaychel Ben Josoi, which reflects the Shita of Hananya. How can you then turn around, I mean the Rif, and Paskin like the Chachamim who require Kol Tzarko? The Ramban in Milchamas Hashem tries to reconcile these two rulings of the Rif, and he says that let's differentiate between something that's misbashel b'kedera, which is the machlokas between Hananya and Rabbanon, in contrast to something that's roasting on the coals, and that's the subject of our Mishnah. When it's Tzliya al Gabi Gecholim, everybody agrees that once it reaches Kemach Ben Josoi, we're not going to be afraid of Shema Chata. Because Chitui in that case could really cause scorching and burning of the meat. But in something that's in a pot and it's on a fire, where there's no chashash of Nechrach, of Hichrech, by Chitui, therefore the Chachom require that it has to be already Mavusha called Tzarko by the time you enter into Shabbos. Otherwise, you can't leave it on the open fire. So that's the Ramban. Now, the Mishnah says, Ein nosim es hapas. Now we want to figure out the two shitas here, the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, exactly what's the machlokes, and who's the machmir and who's the mekil. That we're not going to allow putting the dough into the oven for baking to create a bread unless it would reach a certain stage in its afia. We'll call it krimas pas or krimas pnea pas mibojom, before nightfall. And all we know is that Rabbi Eliezer says, I need krimas hatachton, which is the part that touches the walls of the oven. And in those days, they used to put a dough into the oven. They would be madbik. They would attach it to the walls of the hot oven. So there was part of the dough that was, the other part of the dough was smack against the very hot oven, and the outer part of the dough was facing the fire itself. And the Gemara now is going to raise a suffix. What did Rabbi Eliezer mean when he said that you need krimas hatachton shelo, the tzad hatachton? Did he have in mind the part that's connected, the other part of the dough that's dovuk? It's clinging onto the walls of the tanur, or was did he have in mind the part of the pas which is towards the fire, which turns towards the fire, if we can use that term? Iboilahu. So the Gemara asks the following question. When it says in Rabbi Eliezer krum hatachton, does he mean hech de gabi tanur, the part that's dovuk in the dofen atar, the other part of the dough? Or dilma maybe means tachton al hech digabe ha'ur, on the side of the pas that is inclined towards the fire itself, which would be the outer side of the not the inner side, but the outer side of this dough. Now, it's interesting that the Gemara has a suffix here in Rabbi Eliezer and not in Chachomin. You could have asked the same suffix in the Chachom when they say Kedesha Yikru Panel Mibojom. What does Yikru Panel mean? So are we talking about the Tzara Eish or the Tzara Adovak Bitanur? But the Sfasemis points out, based on a riff and a ran, that Rabbi Eliezer in our mission is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and we have a principle that halacha kimosu b'chol makom. So therefore, we'd rather raise this suffix in Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov because we're going to paskin like him. And the Gemara quotes a brisa to come to a conclusion about this suffix as to which side has to reach primus pas according to Rabbi Eliezer. Toshma, Rabbi Eliezer, omer in the brisa kidei sheyikru panel hamedubakim b'tanur. So clearly, Rabbi Eliezer had in mind the part of the dough that's clinging, the other part that clings to the sides of the oven, and that's the part that kadesh yikru matapton. Now, the way Rashi interprets it, medubakim, Rashi says that Rabbi Eliezer is more machmir than the chachamim, because the part that of the dough that faces the fire is reaches krimas panel quicker than the underside of the pas that's connected to the tanur. And if you look at Tosus Dibra Maschil Iboy at the top of the Amud, he says that according to Rashi, that the tzad kabia eish gets baked first. Then let's interpret the suffix Gemara in the following way. What does Rabbi Eliezer have in mind when he says Kadesha Yikru Matachton? Does he have in mind the Tzara Pasa Dovak B'Tanur? And then we could say that the Chachomim, when they say Sheyikru Paneha, they were Makil and they said, no, it's enough that any one of the two Tzadim, the inner side or even the outer side, would reach Krimas Panur. And Rashi says that the outer side Klapi Eish will reach Krimas Panea Pas even quicker. So the Chachoma being Mekil. Or did Rabbi Eliezer have in mind Sheikrum Atachtom, meaning the tzad that moves towards the Eish? Now, if that be the case, what are the Chachomim saying when they say Sheikru Paneha? And the answer is that the Chachom require both. You need a baking or a crust on the inner side that's dovek to the tanner, and you need a crust at the same time on the outer part of the side, in which case Rabbi Eliezer is the mekil, the chachamim on the machmirim. And the final conclusion of the Gemara is that Rabbi Eliezer is the machmir and the chachamim on mekilim, because the tzad that faces the eish will bake earlier and reach krimas pas before the inner side that's dove of the dough that's dove that's connected clinging to the side of the oven. Tosus, however, says that the Yerushalmi seems to indicate that Rebbe Lezer is the mekil and not the machmir. And then we're going to come to the conclusion, according to this Yerushalmi, that the tzad that's dove to the tanah, the underside of the dough, will get baked quicker or faster than the tzad that's klapi ha'eish, just the opposite of what we saw in Rashi. And when the Chachom say sheyikru panel, it means the tzad aponel ha'eish, and they are being machmir, whereas Rabbi Lez said, no, you don't have to wait that long. It's enough that it reaches krimas ponim habedubakim v'tanur. And we'll see, if we have time, the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos seems to reflect that same shita as the Yerushalmi. Now, we said that there are certain cases where we can be mekil, and we permit the fire going on Erev Shabbos, Mishalshin HaPesach. So we're putting the Karban Pesach into the oven right before Shabbos, and this is a case where, as we said before, Yudal B'Nisan coincides with Friday. My Taima, why is it that we're allowing the Tzliya process of the Korban Pesach to begin right before Shabbos, and even though it won't reach the Shir of Kimaychel Ben Josoi before it gets dark before Shabbos, What about the gzera mishum chidui? And the answer is, says Gemara, mishum debnei achabura zrizim heim. As we said before, the hisaskus, the esek in the Korban Pesach, is of a chabura, the whole group, and one will supervise and remind the other. Now it's interesting because we have a principle that Kol Yisrael Mevi'im Korban Pesach. Are you going to tell me that all of Kol Yisrael is made up of Zerizim? The Gemara's language is B'nei HaChabura Zerizim Heim. I mean, all of Kol Yisrael make up the various Chaburas. So you have every echelon in society, every member of society. It's hard to say you'll always guarantee yourself Zerizim. So the Sfasemis here says that what the Gemara has in mind is the Bnei HaChabur would choose amongst them one or two people who would be Mefakeh. They would supervise what's going on. They were in charge. They were the Zrizim. And they would make sure that no one would come to be Mechal Shabbos. Now the Gemara says, Halav Hachi Lo. If not for the element here of Bnei Chabura's reason name, it would be Asur. We wouldn't be matir to be Mishalshil the Pesach into the Tanur right before nightfall on Erev Shabbos, because we'd be afraid of Chitu Gecholim. In fact, the Gemara of Omar Mar, we have a statement which we quoted back on Daf Yud Ches, that Gadya, if you're talking about a kid, meaning a goat, we're not afraid that he'll open up the oven and be mechate, bein sharik, bein lo sharik, shaper dummy. Whether or not they sealed the outside covering of the oven, or they didn't seal it with cement, what we spoke about, or plaster. Even if it's open and it's accessible, but nevertheless, that we're not afraid he'll open the oven in order to do chitui, because such a thing would be mazik the basar agdi. It would be detrimental to the meat of the goat, and if we're not choshish for chitui gecholim, so why did you have to come on to bnei chabura zrizim heim in order to be matit tzlius gedi of carbon pesach shecha? Because lechol can be matit because no one would even think of opening the door of the tanur, let alone do chitui, because it's going to be mazik the gedi. So the Gemara answers Hasam with regard to that Gemara back on Daf Yud Ches Mintach. We're talking about pieces, individual members of the body of the goat, and therefore immediately as he opens the door of the oven and the wind blows, rushes in, it's going to be mazik, it's going to be detrimental. We're not choshe shem yechat. But here, aval hocha, in the case of Korban Pesach lo mintach, the law is that you have to put the entire gedi on a spit inside the oven. That's the halacha of tzlias Korban Pesach. The Torah says, rosho al krov yal kirbo. And therefore, even if he would come to open up the door of the oven while the tzli is taking place, the wind would not have a negative effect on the gedi, because it's a whole gedi. It's only when you cut it up into segments that's very problematic. That's very hazardous for the gedi. So therefore, in the case of Korban Pesach, if not for the factor of Zrizim, B'nei Chabur Zrizim him, we would have a serious chashash of chitui. The Mishnah says, U'machizin es ha'ur. In the case of the Maduras Beis HaMoked, in the right outside the Azora, in the Beis HaMikdash, we're not worried about chitui, so we could allow the fire to go on outside the Beis HaMikdash. We have to make sure that all the logs are burning. So the Gemara asks me, Nani Mili, what's the basis for this heter in the case of Maduras Beis HaMoked Somach L'Shabbos? In other cases, other places, we said it's Osir. Rav Huna, the Gemara answers, Lo Sevaru Eish Bechol Mosh V'Sechem B'Yom HaShabbos. and we're going to be medayik from the Lashon HaKosuv. It says bechol Moshe Vosechem iato mavir eish b'shabbos. So we're talking about Moshe Vosechem. Avol ato mavir b'maduras beis hamokeh shebeis hamigdash. It means that you're allowed to keep this fire going in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMokeh, even on Shabbos itself. And it would seem from this sugya that the Issur of Hadlokas Madura, Somach LeShabbos, is an Issur Torah. And the Gemara asks, how do we know that you can be mata this in the Mikdash? And Rav Huna brings the drasha from this pasuk to be matered in the Mikdash. And the Pnei Yeshua is very upset about this. He says, according to Rabbi Hillel, there's no Iser to do a malach that you've started on Shabbos that happens Memela. That you start on Erev Shabbos that happens Memela on Shabbos, the malach is completed. And, when we talk about Bishul, Adlokas Madura, those are cases where Beis Hillel agrees to prohibit it on every Shabbos, but that's all Drabbanan because of the Chashemi Chitu. So why do we need a drush from a pasuk to be Matir Hadlokas Maduras Migdash B'Migdash? So the Pnei Yeshua answers that Rav Huna holds that Mutter, listen to this, Mutter Lahadlik Madura B'Beis HaMoked Afilu B'Shabbos. That's pretty revolutionary that you're allowed to light this fire in the place called Beis HaMoked on Shabbos itself. I mean, we have dinim of Ola Shabbos b'Shabbatov of bringing a carbon Ola, etc. on Shabbos, and we violate the Shabbos kilu for carbonus, but this is just to keep the Eish going. And the Gemara answers Rav Huna by saying that from the pasuk b'chol Moshe Vosechem, we're going to be medayik that there's a heter from Aduras Beis HaMoked, and you're allowed to light this on Shabbos. Now, why is that so? Are we dealing with Pikuach Nefesh or something? So one possibility that the Pnei Yeshua raises is that this fire was being lit not just for the sake of the Kohanim, but also for the sake of the Eish Al Gabi Mizbeach. And that already becomes part of the Korban, the Avodas HaKorban. Or perhaps, for the benefit of the Kohanim, we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos with Hadlokas HaMadura Azu, because without this, the Kohanim would not, would be possibly endangering their lives. I mean, you'll never get the Kohanim to be able to do the Avodah without this fire going. Maskiflor Rav Chisda, Ihochi Afilu B'Shabbos Nami. Are you telling me that the Torah doesn't prohibit Havaras Eish B'Beis HaMikdash? So the Mishnah talks about, Lehei Ocheis Esa'or B'Beis HaMokeh B'Erev Shabbos. Now you're telling me even on Shabbos? So that although the previous Sugi Rav Huna seems to come to that very conclusion, but Rav Chisda is not willing to accept that conclusion. And the Mishnah is talking about being matir, lighting the fire in the Beis HaMokin on Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos, but not on Shabbos itself. Elam Rav Chisda, Kroki Osel Mishrei Evarim Uptorim Hudi Osa. So the Haktorah that's mutar on Shabbos, on Leil Shabbos in this case, is Haktorah Seivarim V'Chalovim, as there were carbonates that were brought on Friday, and what was left over to be burnt was the Evarim V'Chalovim. As we learned in the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Brachos, you may recall, that there's something called Hekter Evarim and Chalovim, which goes on at night. That's the only part of the Avodas HaKorbanos that goes on at night. And this Havar is what we call Tzor Kavo, and if it's Mutar on Shabbos. But if you're talking about Maduras based on Moked, according to Rav Chisda, that's wonderful. It's a Tzor HaKohanim. They actually should warm up, but that's not called Litzor Kavo, and therefore that's not Mutar on Shabbos. But then Rav Chisda points out, so why is it Mutar again to light this fire, Somach L'Chashecha, a fire which we'd be enjoined from lighting, it would be certainly also on Shabbos, because Kohanim's reason, man. The Kohanim are very careful about the Kiyumah Mitzvahs and meticulous, and they would definitely remind one another that they shouldn't do Chitui in this Madura, and therefore the Chacham did not include this Madura in the Gzeirah. Ubigvulin Kidesha Techos Aar Beruban. So if you're lighting a campfire or some sort of bonfire on Erev Shabbos outside the Beis HaMikdash, you have to make sure that before Shabbos the fire is going. The flame is going, and most of the flame is going. What does that mean, most of the flame? My Ruban. So Gemara now quotes a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Omar Rav. Rav says, Ruban means Rov shall call Echad the Echad. It's every single log, every single piece of wood in this campfire, in this bonfire, has to be burning. And most of it is burning, meaning not just, you know, a little part of a piece of wood is burning. It's not enough that that most of the pieces of each wood, in other words, you have, let's say, 10 pieces of each of wood in that 10 logs. It's not enough that 6 out of 10 logs are on fire. You need that all 10 logs are on fire. And you need rove, the concept of rove here in our mission is referring to rove of each one of the 10 logs. Shmuel Amar, Kadesh Lo Yomru, Have Eish Eitzim Venaniach Tachteim. Shmuel says that the fire is going on its own. We don't need to feed the fire. We don't have to bring any additional logs and throw them into the fire. The fire has enough of a fire to continue burning on its own. And if you get to that stage on Erev Shabbos, then it's mutter. So clearly Shmuel is the mekil here. And when the Mishnah says Sheteoche Sa'or Beruban, Shmuel would interpret it ribui, not rov, the way Rav understood it, mean rov of each eitz, but ribui. Ribui means it's an intense fire, you know, that's called ribui. You know, it's a lot of fire, and you don't need to feed the fire. You don't have to bring additional wood. And the Gemara brings a proof to Shmuel from a brisa, Toni Rab Chiyo L'Siyue L'Shmuel. Here's a brisa that based on a pasuk, is going to darshan a drush, and the conclusion of this drush is a clear-cut support for Shmuel. The pasuk says that as far as the mitzvah of menorah, which we're reading about in these parashios now, it says in the pasuk, halos ner tamid, and Chazal derived from lahalos, kideshe teyeh shalheves ola meileha. In other words, you have to light it to the point to which now it caught on fire. And psilos, how do you say psilos? The wicks of the menorah are on fire to such an extent that now you don't have to feed the fire anymore. It's, you know, there's plenty of oil that's going up through these wicks, and you've lit it in a way that it catches. You know, the fire caught. And that's called Shalheves Ola Meileha. A lot of famous drushes on this. I mean, when I say drushes, I mean rabbinic sermons. But you don't need a Dover Acher. You don't have to add something to help this fire go up, this candle go up. So we're going to derive from this brisa the following equation, that just like in the case of menorah, all you have to do is get to the point of shalheves ola meileha, that you don't need any help from the outside, so too in the case of this madura of Erev Shabbos, this bonfire, you get to the point where on Erev Shabbos before Chashecha, where the fire has got enough of its own, you know, that it can live on its own. And the fire is going up, and you don't need Rubo Shalkol Eitz. All you need is like Shalheves Ola Meileha without any Siyua. You don't have to bring any other wood or whatever it is to keep the bonfire going. And now the Gemara clarifies what would be the law if you have one piece of log on Erev Shabbos. That's all you have, not a bonfire. And you're lighting that one single log. And that's called Eitz Yechidi. one single log. And what would allow you, what stage would it have to get to in terms of the fire burning in order to allow you to do this right before Shabbos? Rav Omar, Rov Ovyo, the Amri Lei, and others say Rov Hekefo. Now, Hekefo would mean that most of the fire circulating around this piece of wood, and that's a kula because if you say Rov Ovyo, it seems to be that the fire would have to penetrate into the thickness of this log ad rubo, so that Rov in the log is already burning. So Rav requires that the fire be Barov Ovyo Shala Eitz, and we saw something similar in Rav in the case of Madur Shal Eitz and Rabim, that Teoches HaEish Rubo Shal Kol Eitz V'Eitz, we meant Rubo Shal Ovyo Shal Kol Eitz V'Eitz. And now we're applying the same standard and requirement of Rav to one Eitz Yechidi. That's L'chor L'Pshat in this sugya so far. However, there is a Chachmas Manoach who writes that in a case of Eitz Yechidi, Rav holds that you need Rov Ovyo. If you have a whole Madura of Eitzim, many, many Eitzim, a whole campfire, a whole bonfire, then you need Rov Orcho Shel Kol Eitz. Not Ovyo, but Orcho. So that's a different interpretation. Amar Rav Papa Hilkach, since we have Machlokes Amoroim, so he says, I'm going to be Machmir like both of them, Be'inan Rov Ovyo U Be'inan Rov Hekefo. So you're going to have the inside and the outside, meaning the inside of the wood is burning, and the outside of the wood, there's a fire that circles around the piece of wood that has to go up and down this piece of wood and cover most of the outside of this log. And Gemara says that there's a machlokes tanoim on this very subject. Kitanoi. Again, what do we need? Do we need that the fire be burning on most of the thickness of this one single log, or do we need that most of the outside of the log is burning? The fire is circulating, detached to the outside of the log. Rabbi Chiya says that what is the shear of Te'oches HaEish Beit Zichidi Korv Hashecha? It's Kidei She Shaches HaEitz Mimaleches HaUman. It can no longer be you. It's no longer suitable for any sort of malacha, which would mean that Rov Ovyo, it really, the H penetrated into the fire itself, the inner part of the wood, into the log itself. I meant to say the inner part of the wood is already burnt. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer Kadesh Teoches HaEish Mishnei Tzadim Shel HaEitz. It's only that it goes around the Hekef, the outside of the log. It hasn't penetrated the inside. The Afal Pisha Ein Rael Dovar Zechel Dovar. He says, even though I can't prove it from the Torah, from the Tanakh, but I do find a little bit of a proof from a pasuk in Yechezkel. And there it says in Perek Tes Vav, Eishnei Ktsosav Ochlo HaEish V'socho Nechor HaYitzlach L'Melocha. Which means that from the moment that the fire goes on the two ktsavos of the eights, and we know that the moisture that's within any log, any piece of wood, has dried up, and it's no longer roi for any malacha. So from this pasuk we see that once the log is caught, the fire on the log is caught berov hakef on the outside, most of the outside of this log, and it continues burning, it's not going to go out. That's enough of a shear, and that's what you call kidei sheteyoches ha'ish mishnei atzadim, which means rov hekefo misaviv. And this is a raya, so to speak, or he calls it a zecher l'davar, against Rabbi Chiya, who says, no, you need that the shachis ha'etz v'melechas ha'uman, the fire is penetrating inside of the log, and the basically the log is like charcoal, it's not roi l'melocha. The Gemara now quotes Machlokas Amoraim in terms of how to interpret a pasuk in Yirmiyah. And this pasuk is referring to Yehoyakim, who burnt Megillas Eicha. And it says, V'es ha'och lefanov mivo'eres. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Yirmiyah to write Megillas Eicha. And it was written with the help of one of his Talmidim, his outstanding Talmid, Baruch ben Neriah. And it was brought in front of King Yehoyakim. They read it in front of him. And after they read the first few psukim, and they got to the pasuk, Choyu Tzareh L'Rosh, which means that Te'ovid Malchus Yisrael, the Malchus Yisrael would be completely destroyed. The Melech commanded to burn this Megillah in an oven. And all this is explained in the Gemara by Yikot Nadav Chavav. And we're going to interpret this pasuk, V'es ha'och l'fonim v'o'eres, in one of two ways. My och, what is this och referring to? That was bor l'fonov. Omarav, achvona, u'shmuel omar eitzim shenidlaku bi'achva. So Rav interprets it to mean a bonfire of atze arava, which according to the Aruch, it's not an arava tree, you know, the same arava that we use for a lulav, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, is called a willow, if I remember correctly, anyway, but rather we're talking an eitz that looks like something called a tzaftzafa. And the name of tzaftzafa was changed sometimes to arava or areva. And this is all a Gemara later on in Daf Lamin Vav. And that's the way Rav understood this word ach. Shmuel understood that we're talking about wood that was burnt bi'achva. Rashi interprets bi'achva that it means nidlokim zemizeh ha'etz ha'kot madlikas ha'godol. So there's an orach here on this, that the kavana here of Shmuel's interpretation is Eitzim adolkim yatzma below Torah neficha. So the Gemara brings a maisa to support Ra. Fahudi omrele, a person said, man boy achvana, achvana, if somebody wants to buy, I'm selling an achvana, and ishtakech aravta. And they found that it was this Eitz Arava, which we said was a Tzaftzafa. The Gemara now brings a Machlokas Amoraim as far as Hadlokas Mador Shel Konim, when you have reeds that you use to feed the fire, or sometimes you use Garine Tmorim, the pits that are inside dates, and you burn this on Erev Shabbos, Somech L'Chashecha, Omer Avuna, Konim ain't srichim rov. There's a requirement that we only allow you to burn this wood if most of the wood is burning already on Erev Shabbos. That requirement is lifted with regard to a mador that's made of reeds on Erev Shabbos, because there you don't need that the fire catch most of the reeds. All you need is that there should be some sort of achizas ha'esh, because they just keep burning. There's not a chash that he will do chitui in the case of konim. But agdam, but if he ties all of these reeds into one bundle, then tzrichim rov, then it goes back to the halacha of mahatzotzas eish b'madora, and once they're bundled together, they... you know, the fire doesn't necessarily penetrate inside. We have a chash of chitu to get the fire going. And the Gemara applies the same standards to gar'inim, which are the pits inside dates, and they used to dry them and make a fire out of them. And if they're spread out, ein tzrichim rov. But if you gather them together, and esonim bechoslos, they used to put it in certain kinds of utensils that were made from lulavim, and then they would put them into kelim, together with the kelim, into a campfire, then tzrichim rov. Because once they gather together, tzvurim yachtov, into one great big pile, then the shalheves is not going to enter into them, and you might come to be tempted to do chitui, to poke the flames and get the fire up. The Gemara now quotes a dissenting view. Maskif la Rav Chizda Adarabba Ipcha Mestabra. The opposite should be true. Konim Mibadron. If there's no aguda, there's no bundle, but rather spread out, one goes here, one goes there. Therefore, if the fire catches with one of them, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to burn the other one. So there's going to be some sort of playing around with this fire that's made of these reeds until you make sure that all the reeds go up. We have a real serious chashash. But agdon, or agadon, if you want to pronounce it that way, if you put all the reeds together and you tie them into a bundle, is lo mebadron. They don't spread apart. And one kana, one reed, will certainly light the other one, and the fire will go up, even if it's miut kanim, ibojom, and you don't have to worry about his tampering with the fire. And the so too, says Rav Chizda, in the case of gar'inim, the pits of these dates that are not placed in a utensil, mibadron, they spread each other out. And when they're spread out, you have to make sure that they're all, each and every one of them, are burning rov, are burning b'erev Shabbos. But if he puts them, the son of becholslos, into a certain utensil made out of lulavim that we mentioned before, lo mebadron, they don't spread out, and therefore one lights the other one. And therefore it's enough that the miut, you know, part of them are burning, and they're going to burn one to the other, it'll all catch a fire. So we have to really call the fire department, Smokey the Bear, and get a quick course on different kinds of flames and flammable substances and see which ones might be tempted that you'll require. You might come to Chitui. Itmar, the Gemara says, we have another perhaps viewpoint that's mentioned in the Beis Medrash, and that you'll see here on Daf Chaf Amud Beis. And that's Omer of Kahana, Konim She'agodam. If you take these reeds and you tie them together into a bundle, Tzrichim Rov, because the fire is not going to go into them, there are too many of them, but Lo Agodam ain't Tzrichim Rov. And this sounds like he's reflecting the Shita that we saw in Rav Huna, that you don't need that the fire catch on Rov of the Konim before Shabbos, because these reeds, insofar as they are bundled together, they will catch fire and the fire will keep going. We're not afraid of chitui. Garinim tzrichim rov. Ah, but here, at this point, he's reflecting the shita of Rav Chizda, not Rav Huna, in terms of garinim of tmarim. There, if they're spread apart, you need rov, because they spread apart and the fire is going here, is going there. But in the son of the Chosolos, only when you put them together in this kli that's made of lulavim branches, then ain't tzrichim rov. Then we don't have to make sure that the fire catches with most of these gar'inim before Shabbos, because they light very quickly. We're not afraid of chitui. The Gemara now brings a brisa with regard to different kinds of fires, that you don't need ruban mibojom. Tani Rav Yosef, in his brisa it says, arba maduros ein tzrichin rov. There are four kinds of campfires or bonfires that don't need rov, meaning mibojom, because they just keep burning on their own. There's no chash that you have to tamper with them. You'll be tempted to want to poke it around and get the fire going. One of them is Madura Shal Zefes, the other is Shal Gofris, the other is Shal Gvina, and finally the fourth is Shal Revav. So let's try to interpret these. Shal Revav is made of wax or you know, oils and so forth that burn very, very, very well. And Zephes is made of pitch. And Rabbeinu Chananel has a Girsa Gefes, which are Psuei Zesim. That's a whole different story. We have Gofris, which is sulfur. And we have Gvina. Now, what does Gvina mean? What, did you ever see a fire made of cheese? Out of the whole thing. So the Rif has a different Girsa. He has Kira, which is Shava. But again, you know, that's problematic because we have Revav, which we identified as Shava, as wax. So I don't know, it could be that the Rif just takes out the word Gvina. So we'll leave that as an open question here. If anybody could tell me about a fire made of cheese. V'masnisa Tana. Now we have another quote about Maduros that apparently, you know, they're very flammable. Af shel kash. So kash is called straw. You know, you have shibolim, you know, the sheaves that they have sort of like, you know, tails to them, so to speak. Shal gvava means that after you gather together the grains in the field, then you're left with certain leftover grains. And once again, you don't need hatzotzos or beruba and kodem knisa shabbos because these things just simply go up in smoke. Now the Gemara quotes Rav Yochanan about certain types of wood that don't require hatzotzos eish beruba in order to be matir before Shabbos. Or Rav Yochanan, eitzim shel bovel ein tzrichim rov. You don't need rov to be matzit the or beruba shalom because the Babylonian trees just simply go up in smoke on their own. They just go up in fire. Maskev lo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef had a problem with this. Maihi, what kind of trees or logs did Rav Yochanan have in mind here in Bavel? Ilema silti. If we're talking about your average log, which was cut into small little pieces, which is called silti, and that's what they used to do with these larger logs. They in Bavel, they used to cut them into small, almost twigs, is hashta. I don't understand what Rav Yochanan is talking about. This psila, you know, you have, for example, a psila, which is asuya mibeged. They used to make the wicks from cloth, and they used to dip it into oil, and it lights very well. But nevertheless, Omar Ula, hamadlik, if a person lights ner Shabbos, tzorch sheyadlik berov hayotze. In other words, he's got to make sure that the part of the wick that comes out of the ner, they used to have a receptacle where they put the oil, and then they would put the wick into the hole, into the receptacle. You have to make sure that part that's going out of the ner, out of the receptacle, is caught in flame. And if it's not really burning well, then we're afraid that he might come to do a tikkun apsila. You know, he might have to play around on Shabbos Chas V'Shalom with the wick in such a way that the oil will dip and drip into the wick and feed the wick. So we don't say that since the, you know, a little bit of the psila went up, you know, caught fire, therefore it's going to go on its own. It's silti mibay, how much more so in the case of these small little twigs, you know, that were cut down, you know, the logs were cut into small pieces, and you made a bonfire out of these eitzim dakim, these small, certainly, you better make sure that the fire is going berubon before Shabbos, because the fire is not going to grab on and catch in such a way. The little twigs here that may be burning, may not burning, he may want to He may want to be. He may be tempted. So I don't understand how Rabbi Yochanan could waive the requirement of Rov. El Amar Rav Yosef. Instead, Rav Yosef says that an eitz, you know, which eitz that doesn't need hatzatzah sa'ar berubo mibojom, that's called shoka or shocha di arza. You know, we're talking about an eitz erez, an anaf eitz erez, a branch of an erez tree, a cedar tree, which is dry and very thin, and it has almost like a kind of a wool that separates the tree from its bark. And once the fire catches, that wool, so to speak, just takes it, burning it. It's just going to burn the entire branch. And in such a case, this shocha di arza, again, this anaf of eitz erez, which is dry and thin, that doesn't require... that doesn't lead a person, wouldn't tempt a person to do chitu, because the fire just goes... You know, it just goes very quickly. It burns. You don't have to wait till it's aches eish beruba. Rami bar Abba Omar, he has a different kind of tree that doesn't require hatzotzes eish beruba before Knisa Shabbos, and that's called zaza, which is a branch that's very dry from a tree. And the Aruch seems to assume this is a dry branch of Ilanos. They used to break off the branches on the top of the trees. There were dried branches, and they would take it off, and they would light it on fire, and it would very quickly heat up the house in the wintertime. And the Aruch adds that they had, that these kind of branches from the top of the tree, the dried branches, have a almost like saros. They almost have like hairs that wrap around the tree itself, and these kind of branches just go up very quickly in fire with the fire, and therefore you don't have to worry about Shem Yechat. The Rif, by the way, leaves out, he completely omits this din of Rabbi Yochanan of Eitzim Shel Bavel Ein Tzrichim Rov. The Rashba asks, why did he omit it? We don't have anyone who rejects it, but in truth, the reason why the poskim reject this is because there's so many different opinions in the Gemara, different Amoraim, exactly what these trees are, and we can't be mekil according to all these different shitas, and therefore this din of Rabbi Yochanan that Eitzim Shel Bavel Ein Tzrichim Rov doesn't apply at all today. So Hadron Alecha Yitzias HaShabbos and Amir Tzashem, in the next year we'll begin Perek Bav Mem Adlikin. And we'll try to get an English translation, because there are a lot of descriptions here that we're not familiar with in our contemporary life.